played another message on the park tonight. This is the first night we preached on the Deacon Deity. And maybe the next night, we'll let us a different way. We've got to preach on the salt. We'll let us preach on the oil. The last night, we'll let us preach on the mountain. But tonight, it's a little bit different, what the Lord's gave this to me. I'd like to be able to read it else the way He gave it to me. I never had looked at the scripture quite this way. And until the Lord began to reveal it to me, show me His angle. And no doubt there's things in the Word of God that we can read the same scripture. I remember Ronnie Alfayer preached for a while. He preached the same scripture every night. And the Lord used the same scripture and made different messages out of that. Not that the Word means something different, but the Word of God is alive. And when something's alive, it can move and it can help and it can speak in different ways. But tonight I'm not going to turn your Bible to Acts chapter 28. And this revival, I'd like to see the devil's plan platform. And I love it when the Lord sends up pains and sends the revelations and sends opens folks' eyes and lets the devil's plans backfire. No doubt that's the whole reason that he sent this revival, because the enemy, no doubt, has thought that he had some folk right where he wanted them. But it's God's plan that them plans backfire, that the enemy's got it. I thought tonight, I hope this message, I know this is sound the wrong way, but I want to make you mad tonight. Amen. I want to make you mad, but not mad at me or anybody else, but I want to make you mad at the devil tonight because of the plan that he's devised for your soul and your children's soul, mine, and no doubt the world, everybody. He desired to steal, kill, and destroy. I never heard a preacher say you want to make somebody mad, but I feel like we need to be mad tonight, have an anguish in our heart, and a little mad at the devil, thank God, that we'd be able to stand as soldiers of Christ and begin to fight the warfare of faith like a good soldier. Now, I thought it's good to endure hardness as a good soldier. Have a day and time when the church needs to raise a sword up and say we are the church. We've been bought with a price, and saying you can't have my children anymore. You can't have my mind anymore. You can't have my home anymore. Satan, I'm going to take back what you caused me to drop. Amen.
He's going to kill.
Praise the Lord. I feel like preaching this tonight. And I hope I don't be very long to this. I want us to come up here and shake it off tonight. But that's what I feel like preaching tonight, is let's shake it off. And I thought here, maybe here we see Paul. He was a prisoner, and I said a while ago, we want to preach a little on how that God causes Satan's plans to backfire. I thought the book of Romans was wrote while Paul was in jail. And I thought Satan thought he had Paul right where he wanted him, but I thought while he was in there, he wrote to Timothy. He wrote to the Ephesus church. He wrote to the church in Philippi. He wrote to all these churches, and now we can use that for doctrine and reproof and correction and doctrine, because God turned the devil's plans around when he thought he would shut Paul up, when he thought he would hold him down. God sent a pen in his hands and said, Paul, I want you to write. I want you to write something that ain't going to be for a little while, but it's going to be in the book, and it's going to go forever and ever. Amen. Thank God. I love it when God's plans oversee the enemy's plans. Amen. But here we find Paul. He was a prisoner here. I look like the devil had him bound. He could hardly preach. I look like the devil had him bound. I'll shut him up now. You know the whole reason the devil wanted to shut Paul up, it wasn't because Paul
God was a Christian, thank God. It's because he had a message, and that message was Christ. You know why Satan came against me so hard today at work? It's because God gave me a message, and my message was Christ. Hallelujah. I told him a while back, I said, the devil don't care if I preach as long as I preach his message. He don't care if you sing in church as long as you sing his songs. He don't care if you testify as long as you're throwing stones. He don't care if you pray as long as it don't come from the heart. But Satan, thank God, has got his own religion. I thought he would take anything that is not from here. Satan will take it. He will use it and get somebody in a folder and say, that's what it is, amen. But here, Paul was in jail. Amen. He was, there was a transporting him to another city. I thought we preached a little bit about the other day at the jail on the boat and how the little pieces of the shield, how they were saved by. But here he is on the island of Melita. Hey, man, and I'm going to start here, I guess, in verse 1. And God had a plan through this whole thing. I know Paul had a decision, like me and you tonight. We've got a decision. As the Lord gives us what he's going to give us, we've got a decision to make. Hey, man, and when they were escaped, and then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Hallelujah. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, I want to back up before I get into that. It said that they kindled a fire. God sending a fire in this revival. I mean, he's sending us a fire. You know how these ladies and sisters and brothers was able to pray like they was a while ago? Because there's a fire in this altar. How else these young people have been able to praise and shout the victory of God? And this sinner folk that boy on drugs have come up and cried for an hour and a half. How that God would help and forgive them. Because there's a fire in the house. God sent in the Holy Ghost. A fire revival, thank God. Hey, man, but here in the cold world, how many agrees with me? It's a cold and dark world. And Satan's raining on the world, thank God. I'm getting them so cold. And they're getting the Christian church so cold, thank God. I'm a God sending a fire. I said, God sending a fire. So that folks, and I don't get me wrong, there's a fire of the enemy. And a fire of the enemy is the same power. I mean, when Peter warmed his hands right before the Lord was crucified, there was a little fire by the way. And Peter warmed his hands by that fire because it was cold. That was a fire of the devil that caused Peter to stray away from what God had for him. How about I want to preach to you tonight about being snake bit? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord. And when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, now the devil thought, I've got him. I've got him in prison. I've got him trapped. God made a way that he was going free. And it looked like the devil said, well, I'm going to get him this way. I'm going to send a barber. I'm going to send a venomous beast. Now, Paul didn't have to pray nothing down because God was right where he was. Paul didn't have to prepare for it because God had a plan. God was big enough. God provided what was needed on that day. Paul never had to think about it. God provided this, and it was all for a reason. Satan said, oh, I'm going to get him now. I'm going to shut him up once and for all. I've got these beasts. How many knows the Bible calls Satan a serpent? How that he took the form of a serpent in the Garden of Eve? How that he deceived and he defiled Eve? And he caused her to turn from the promise of God because of his lying ways. How many knows the Bible says that a serpent is the most subtle beast on the field? That means it's the smartest. The serpent was trying to, the Satan's hit, was trying to kill Paul. The serpent today, I'm not preaching about a literal serpent. I'm preaching about a spiritual, a serpent the saint. I see his own mind in your souls. I'll try to bite us. I'll inject the venom of hell into us. I'll cause us. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Cause the message and the life that's inside of it. He don't care if you live on the outside, as long as you don't live on the inside. He don't care if his flesh is alive. Ultimately, he does desire to take our life, but not just the natural life, it's the spirit inside. He desires to take a church. He desires we cross. He gave us life and hope and joy, and the blood of Christ came inside of us. His life came in there. We were dead before that. And Satan desires to take that life. Hey man, I want to circumvent you. When they said a little girl paroled back in the summer, got a copperhead bit on the ankle. Where did it, what happens? It hides itself. It disguises itself. And it finds its victim. And when the victim stumbles on the way, it wasn't that little girl's fault, Brother Richard, that she got bit that day. She was just walking out in the yard, I believe, for the best I understand. Amen. It ain't your fault. You ought to have some young time. Paul was merely trying to build a fire and that they might warm their hands. And all you're trying to do is pray something out and seek something out. That your children and the church will receive strength. But Satan don't want that to happen. He wants to hinder the progress. So he's going to try to bite us when we least expect it. And cause something to come into the bloodstream. And cause that blood to be contaminated of something that he's got. I'm saying the blood is the life of a Satan desires to take that blood out of the life and the heart of the saints of God. And it's hallelujah. Well, glory. Amen. I want to reach on down verse 5. And when verse 4. And when the barbarian saw of the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, had he let God turn this around on the devil? I mean, he thought he had him. But here, look what happens in verse 4. Amen. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, who know that to escape from the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Hallelujah, thank God. I said he shook it off in the fire and felt no harm. I said no harm. How many knows that fire on the mountain that spoke to Moses, that fire was Christ? How many knows that fire that came and devoured the sacrifice for Elijah, that was a fire of Christ, the fire that burns as an incense in heaven forever for eternity? How many knows that he is a source of the flame? And Revelation says there's golden candlesticks, but there's oil that flows through. But Christ is the fire, and the man holding him, and the light source. Amen. And here's a source of the fire. Amen. And I thought Paul, he took the venomous beast and he shook it off in the fire. I came to preach tonight a few minutes to tell the church to shake it off in the fire. And the devil's trying to box it and get a hold of it. I'll leave here. Paul never picked it up and tried to play with it. It tried to get him. Amen. You play with the devil, he will get you. He's going to try to whether you play with him or not. I'm saying he's after you. He's after you. He's after you. Amen. And when he latches a hold of you, I don't read where Paul gave him no time. He didn't give him no time. I'd have pumped any more venom. Over on them books in school, they'd tell us how in science class, how they did it. And they once they latched in, they would pump, and they would pump, and they would pump the venom into the bloodstream. But I thought maybe how. I love how when God created something and he uses it in the Bible, that there's also something deeper inside of that. You know that there's different types of snakes all over the land. There's the different types of venom that will attack different parts of your body. There's some of them called boas. They'll come and they'll try and they'll slowly ease around you and they will choke the life right out of you. I thought they're looking for prey. They'll ease around it. Or the prey, I don't even know it. While they're walking along the way. But the serpent has got a plan. I'm saying the serpent, the devil has got a plan for your life. I don't know what time's got it. I don't know what time's got a hold of it. And I come to tell you, Paul was a good man, a man of God. And it wasn't evil because it got him. What made him good is he shook it off in the fire. Amen. Praise God. I thought they got the boa. It'll come slowly. I've been a victim of the boa spiritually. I mean spiritually speaking. I mean I've been a victim. Slowly choking the prayer out of me. Slowly but slowly. Choking the prayer and the intercession out of me. Slowly but slowly, taking the study out of it. Slowly but slowly, taking my desire and my hunger, choking it out. He don't do it all of a sudden, but he slowly wraps it. And when he's finally got the last call around you, there ain't hardly no getting loose. I would encourage somebody to get loose while you still can. I said, maybe he's got a couple wraps on you right now, and I want you to get loose while you can. I know that's where Paul put it. He didn't put it on the ground. He didn't take it back with him. He shook it off in the fire. That's where the devil belongs, in the fire. Hey, amen. I'm preaching on spiritual serpents. Amen. Praise God. I hope this makes sense. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. And they got the eastern diamond background snake. You know what it attacks? The tissues. It will break down the body from the inside out. Amen. It'll break down the body and the life that's inside the body. When it attacks its prey, it's painless almost. Amen. They say when they eat the rabbits and things, but the rabbits don't feel hardly any immediate pain because the fangs are so sharp. Amen, folks. I'm saying Satan's bite, it'll be so seamless and so subtle. You may not even realize that he's got you. But slowly, he's pumping it in. That doubt, that worry, that strife, that envy, that sedition, that heresy, that unbelief in Christ in your heart, that division. I mean, he divides the tissues. A rattlesnake, he will divide the tissues and break it down. Just like Satan wants to fight the church and break it down from the inside out. Biting one soul at a time and breaking one soul at a time down until he's got the whole body broke down. I'm saying shake it off in the fire before it's divided, before your heart is double-minded. Amen. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Praise God. I'm saying shake it off right now. Amen. Oh, he knew that if he lifted on him, He's going to toss them over in. And the longer the devil has access and can pump that inside of you, he's going to pump more doubt, more unbelief, more hatred, more division, more less of a desire, more a strife against your brother, more lies inside of him. I said he's pumping it in. I don't take the life of Christ that's inside of you, man. Glory to God. I mean, you got your around here, we have little copperheads. You know what? They attack the nervous system. Amen. I've been a victim of the spiritual copperhead too. I mean, my nerves, I would worry so bad. And my nerves, it got so bad. I mean, if a little thing would come up, I was on edge. A little something happened, I was on edge. I was ready to snap at any minute. My nerves were so riled up because Satan was trying to come inside of my life. He had got a hold of me. All I needed to do was shake him off, put right in the fire. If Paul would have shook this beast off on the ground, it might have got him again. It might have got somebody else that was standing around. Amen. You know what happens many times? That tackles the mind. That vibe that Satan gives us that tackles the mind. We don't shake it off. And then we go talk to her sister. And while we're talking to her, it bites her too. I mean, you don't even see it happen. It ain't the ones you can see you need to be afraid of, church. It's the ones you can't see. Why do they have the marks on them to disguise themselves so you can't see them? Amen. And while it's got my mind, while it's got my unbelief and my worry, and it's attacking my mind, and I go talk to Jeremy, it's going to get him too. And it's going to pump some unbelief and doubt and worry and hatred into him. It's time, church, that we shut the devil off and put him where he belongs, in the fire, and let God take care of him. I mean, he'll be back. He'll be back. But every time he comes, shake it off. I said, shake it off. Hallelujah. I don't read where the snake ever let go of Paul, but Paul had to turn himself loose. And the devil, once he gets a hold of your mind, a hold of your eyes, a hold of your heart, he won't turn you loose. I said, he won't turn you loose. It'll take you. I say, I'm going to shake it off and fight in the fire of God. I said, I'm getting rid of this unbelief. I'm getting rid of this hatred. I'm getting rid of this doubt. I'm getting rid of this worry. I'm getting rid of this unbelief. I'm getting rid of this. Shake it off.
It's got purple right here.
Then you got your cold, spitting cobra. Anybody tell me where they go for? Many young people are a victim of Satan's spitting cold. Is that right to go that way? It's that Satan's spitting cold. You can't see that. But he's there. That's a young man. He spit in my eyes.
No.
He didn't burn. Matter of fact, it was might have been a little sweet. That's how Satan's been on me. It don't hurt at first.
Look at all the eyes.
It don't burn at first. It don't even swell at first. Well, boy. He blinded my eyes and caused me to stumble and almost cost me my very soul. It almost cost me my ministry. I might not have done a preacher day in my life. But I'm glad that God... I'm glad I had a praying mommy. I had a praying, opened my eyes to that serpent, and I took it back to the fire. I got down to the altar of prayer, and I shook it off right where it belonged. It didn't belong in me. It didn't belong in my eyes. It felt cost me my whole spiritual walk with God. How many folks, hallelujah, has had to spit on my eyes where you just couldn't see like you needed to see. I believe Balaam was one of them men who was a victim of a spiritual serpent attacking his eyes. How many will head the wrong way after God told him don't go? Balaam wanted to go anyways. Young people, don't go until you know for sure that God has said. I said that God has said that it's okay to go, and then be very cautious and that you don't stray to the left or to the right, because God's got a plan for your life, and that life will bring life to others. Amen. I know what I'm preaching about tonight. Hallelujah. I said the life that's inside of you, God's got a plan that life will bring life to others. And then when you get around them at school, they hear something, they see something, they taste something. That's a little different. That's why Satan's attacking it on the school bus. That's why he's attacking it in the hallways. That's why he's attacking your mind when you hear that music and it draws him. I've been there. I said I've been there, and I still get there. That old music I listened to before I'd be at Walmart. Somebody said I don't even think about it no more without place. And the devil tried to take my mind right back to the place where I was before. And he tries to bite me and take my very life out of me, because he knows there's something inside of me that desires to help somebody else. Balaam couldn't see. He couldn't see. And thank God for a donkey that can see. Him and Paul. Thank God for them two donkeys.
That's not
amen. But I thought here, they come and the donkey stopped.
That's
I'm glad man. God put a stubbornness in a donkey. Amen. Because this man would have been dead. There was an angel standing in the way, right in the road, and he couldn't get by. He was tending with his sword drawn. But he was bitten, spiritually speaking, with the eye of deceit. And the unseeing eye. Amen. And then he couldn't see what was ahead of him spiritually. I mean, yeah, he could see the road. He could see the road good. But he couldn't see what was in the road. I'm telling you folks tonight, a Satan desire to blind the very spiritual life that lies inside of us, because he knows there's something out there. And that donkey spoke. Amen. His eyes was open. And there stood that angel with a sword drawn. Said, if you would have took one more step, I would have slain you. Amen. If I'd have made that one move, because my eyes were blinded, I may have never preached a day in my life. But I thank God that he opened my eyes and I was able to shake it off in the fire.
No, Amen.
Lord, okay, we will a little bit. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want us tonight to see this. I want us to understand this. How the Satan desires, how the Satan desires these things, but God has built a fire in his Son Jesus. He's built a fire that we can shake every one of them off in. And then we put them all down and they can't never make it back. Because when God puts them, thank God, in the fire, there's going to be a final fire after a while that God is going to cast death and hell into the lake of fire. And amen, they're going to be in that fire forever and ever, thank God. But God's provided us a fire and to shake the serpent off in and out. Amen. I want to read on down. Howbeit, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. He went on down and he began to preach Christ to them people and let them know that it wasn't him at all, but it was Christ. And they began to know, from the knowledge of the truth, that Christ was the Son of God. They were barbarians. They didn't even know him. You know God had a plan in all that. You know God had a plan in all that. He took something that the devil did, just like with Joseph. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's just like the devil. He meant so many things down through time for evil. But you know what God did all down through time? He turned that evil mess
and turned into a message that somebody may believe, that somebody may know. You know, they thought they had Paul in prison. The devil thought he had him shut up, but God broke him out. And you guess what happened to that soldier? Became a Christian in his family because of that. And I thought so many times, Satan's going to come. He's going to bite you. He's going to bite you.